Ah, Mike's alive! Mods strikes back as radio team go down with it.
He's back. One way or another, the Sus Nugget will make it to Colonia.
Just when you thought it was safe to go engineering.
The return of Hackswing as Tharg breaks cover.
Peace and quiet breaks out in Hun space.
Sorry. Placeholder for image 7. Delete and replace with correct file for this week.
And it's far from quiet out there in the community at the moment.
Mods. Mug ownership deficiency syndrome. One of the most perplexing medical conditions in the galaxy. It's a stealthy one, masquerading as all sorts of lurgy. It was only by chance that Nurse Wyeth of Hutton Orbital discovered that this hitherto unconnected series of symptoms appeared not to be in people who drank regularly from Hutton mugs. The conclusion, as we can rule out coincidence, is that not having a Hutton mug leaves you at the mercy of mods. And it turns out that a few of the crew have been neglecting their nightcap and stopped sipping from their Hutton-approved Hutton-brand Hutton mugs on a regular basis. Harry Balsack has come down with a nasty case of got to look after Mrs. Balsack, taking him away from his weekly foray into the nonsense that is this radio show. Wilma Fingerdoo and Amelia Hawke of the Galnet Rares Digest have both come down with a heavy dose of exploring the outdoors. It masquerades as ruddy good health, selfies, and of course contentment. But we all know that's code for a nasty dose of mods. Then there's Flossie. Flossie's tough, but even Flossie's not immune to such terrible things. After taking some time off to nurse a poorly wrong way, her stick had two lines on it. And we know what two lines mean. Yep, that's right, the Rona, which, of course, is also mods. Then there's me. I knew that licking that plate clean in the bar wasn't sensible. The dishwasher appears not to be very good at doing what it's supposed to, and the week-old film of ick that was still on it from last week's show looked like fancy porcelain glaze. We know what also looks like porcelain glaze. Yep, the porcelain in Cubicle 3. And that's most unsanitary. Anyway, I've also got mods. The common factor in all of these afflictions, that's right. None of us have been partaking of drinks from Hutton mugs recently due to sheer complacency. Let this be a warning to you. Keep yourself healthy. Keep yourself mods free. Earn your Hutton mug today or fall foul of space lurgy most horrid. Don't leave it too late. As all we'll say to you is... we told you so.
Now begins a special report from the old gamer and his old geezers and gals. Late one evening on board fleet carrier the old geezer's bar, in the bar, a young commander sat down with Commander Scratching Me Knackers, also known as the old gamer, and started to tell a little story. Some time back, Commander Susnugget, also known as Sriracha, who only recently earned his pilot's license, decided to head off to Colonia in his Sidewinder. After struggling with a very short jump distance and many, many days of flight time, approximately 4,000 light years, the young commander decided to upgrade his ship, first to a Cobra, which he didn't like too much, so then decided on a DBX, which he would continue his journey. This is what he was told to Commander Scratching Me Knackers. Sorry, I'll start that again. This is what was told to Commander Scratching Me Knackers on the old gamer's video channel. Of course, those gathered in the old geezer's bar, listening in on this conversation, were a little confused with the information that was given. Even Commander Scratching Me Knackers found it hard to keep the look of doubt and confusion from his face. In the end, Commander Scratching Me Knackers asked, "Hold on, if you were 4,000 light-years into your journey to Glonia, how the heck did you manage to buy a Cobra and a DBX? There's nothing out there." Well, the answer provoked much laughter. "Well, luckily, I set off in the wrong direction. So when I turned round and headed in the right direction, I passed through inhabited space again. So I was able to buy my new ships." Commander Scratching Me Knackers could not contain himself and completely lost his composure, declaring the young pilot had to be having a laugh, surely. Even saying, "How do you go the wrong way? It's not like you can take a wrong turn on a roundabout, is it?" Both commanders have since become good friends. However, Commander Scratching Me Knackers refuses to take any directions from a poor young commander, Susnugget.
Over in Paladin Consortium space, things are, well, a little bit iffy. Went from endless wars to winning wars endlessly. Then, suddenly, silence. No wars, no conflict, no sign of the EGU. Were they all on holiday? Is it some kind of religious observation? Was there a ceasefire and no one remembered to mention it? Whatever was happening, or actually wasn't happening, is now unhappening, or continuing to not happen. As it's all happening again, just in slow motion. Gone are the days of 10% influence swings in 24 hours, and now we have a slow-mo action replay of the last few months as Nabatian and Nenmet have slowly, ever so slowly, drifted back into war. The good news is that the intervening freeze frame days have allowed many commanders to go and engineer themselves up the wazoo and are feeling tougher than an overcooked steak. The other good news is that for those who haven't achieved their elite ranking in kicking the EGU to the curb and are only a rank or so away, they very obligingly started a couple of conflicts, which should be enough to tip everyone over the edge and into elite mercenary status. Except mercenaries get paid, so we'll rename it Volunteer Rank.
Incoming encrypted transmission. Decrypting. Decryption complete.
Stand by for a message from Haxcom Actual.
Okay, Haxwing. Turns out Tharg hasn't had enough and has come back for more, so let's give him some. There is new activity in the following systems. Didio, Novos, and Sosong, all in the bubble. Top priorities are to finish clearing out HIP 38225 and Paukumon, then move on to Didio. Stay up to date for system status and priority changes at Thargoid.watch. There are still no station attacks, so no search and rescue operations are currently active. All station repairs are currently up to date, so there are also no active Operation Ida delivery targets. Let's get out there and give Tharg a proper welcome. Watch each other's back, keep your eyes on the signal sources, and always stay ready to defend the mug.
Hexcom message complete. Defend the mug.
Encrypted transmission complete.
Hasn't it been nice to have had a break from all the recent excitement? No wars, no elections, no unruly factions rocking the boat. All is calm once again, and the main display on the Hutton Master Control Situation Board is a sea of calming blue. Four systems are below 40%, we've expanded into a brand new system, and our latest system has caught a dose of the space pox. More on those stories coming up. Barnard Star has been buried in yet another round of internecine warfare, with much of the system's influence tied up. With a cluster of factions wallowing close together, it looks like another round of internephew warfare is about to break out. Families, eh? This leaves Hutton on 32, but there may be a brief window over the weekend in which to boost a bit of influence. Ball 359 fell from 37 to 34 in the week, and with most of the other factions squabbling amongst themselves, this system is in danger of turning into Barnard Star 2. After four wars in 4 weeks, Avic emerged only to find that it was under pirate attack. Thankfully, most truckers have good experience at beating off pirates quickly, leaving the system on 37. The mega galactic aggressor in the first of three of those wars, Sirius Corporation, finds itself in famine. Oh dear, what a shame, never mind. Fourth and last of the sub-40 systems is Epsilon Indy, which, with its significant population, is slowly climbing to 39 after its recent outbreak. Finally, our home system of Alpha Centauri is on exactly 40%, and with four factions suffering from civil unrest, two in famine and two gone bust, it isn't the happiest of systems and needs to have a watchful eye kept upon it. The newest system, War 562, was settling in well, putting on 10 points, hovering nicely in mid-table, and then found itself suffering from a dose of the space pox. Shipping meds to the larger pads in Hopkins Port and Berners-Lee Terminal to relieve that quickly. Operation Jump to a Dump found us expanding into the Acardia system, but since it already has a player faction that is not a particularly silly-sounding system name, Alvin gave it the briefest of sniffs and wandered off in disinterest. At the overachieving end of the Hutton Systems table, we have four systems above 60%, one of which is over 70. Meanwhile, in Colonia, Grand High Admiral Chief Air Marshal Generalissimo Hanke, Grand Kazi of all the Colonia clones, sent something in very late which said something about an election in Tyr. When isn't there an election in Tyr? When interviewed by the Colonia Chronicle, Brenda from Tyr said, "What, another one?" Priorities this week are if you want to truck something, relieve the outbreak in Wolf 562 and then boost influence in Barnard Star, Wolf 359 and Avic. If you want to shoot something, go and have a chat with the Paladins.
The only definite things in this life are death, taxes and pilots going out to do things that are brave or silly, but often both. This week we've heard from Trip Omega, Does the Sun Still Rise in the East in the East?, Explore the Core Infernal Expedition, The Lost Souls Expedition 3, and the latest adventure from the Buckyball Races. Links will, as always, be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. Trip Omega is going swimmingly, and Commander Radium's put down his extra-large Centauri Mega Gin and Tonic to let us know that some of what they've been doing. The third phase of Titan Contractor's biggest expedition trip yet continues, having reached more than halfway with only about 2,300 light-years left to go between the Solaris, our lead carrier, and Colonia. Throughout the trip, various interesting and beautiful points of interest have been seen. Since our last update, various locations have been visited, like the Caravan Several Starport in Gandharvi, the Death Spiral, A Dance of Spirals, the Jade Ghost, Gravitas, and the Clockwork Nebula. With only two POIs left to go as this Thursday until we reach Colonia, we're excited to reveal our deep space exploration phases, simply known as 4 and 5. More information regarding that will be coming soon. As always, to interact and follow our journey, check on our website and Discord below and follow us on Twitter at @tcon_feed. Fly safe! Some commanders are incorrigible, but this one assures us that he's definitely incorrigible, and as usual has been pointing his camera in all sorts of directions.
Does the sun still rise in the east, in the east? Week 7. Commander the Presence here again, and what a very sociable week it's been too. apart from getting a tremendous buzz from exobiology, I've also had a real human contact. Not once, but twice. The first was when I was buzzed by an Aspex while I was fossicking amongst some osseous, which made me run for cover and change into something less comfortable. It turns out the ship belonged to a fellow explorer named Creamy Goodness, and after initially a prickly meeting, no, I wasn't sitting on a cactoid, he seemed to be a nice chap and rather a good egg. He had an excellent larder and was willing to swap fresh food for turns coupling up to my Jacques Quentin, still to the waste containers on our flight suits. Alas, it was far too short a time before he had to head back to the Empire and to the Royal Akinar Golf Course, as he wouldn't believe me when I told him Denton Petraeus swings both ways. At least that's what I've heard. I was far more prepared for the next meeting with my old friend Captain Janagu, as his carrier was in the area and he said he'd love to meet up and he'd happily come to me. Next thing I know is a Type 7, not your usual explorer craft, heading my way, but then even better, it was loaded with Gucci toys like the new Scorpion SRV. In return for a go on his cart, I taught him how to clap and turn his lights on and off, but then made the mistake of telling him he could wave at his ship too. I didn't know he was standing on it until there was the lightest of thuds through the tenuous atmosphere. On the plus side, his boots fitted a treat. Until next week, TTFN.
Middle of the galaxy, but never middle of the road. Explore the Core Infernal Expedition is forensically, but never frantically, exploring the dense mass of stars and systems. And Commander Infernal Moose has news of their exciting adventures.
During the last leap, we finished leg one of the Explore the Core Infernal Expedition at Sagae, which provided 3 days of R&R to the expedition crew while we prepared for leg two. Leg 1 total distance travelled by all commanders was almost 2.7 million light years, which was almost as much as the entire Galactic Circumnavigation Infernal Expedition. We've also wrapped up the expedition leaderboards for Leg 1 with some extraordinary discoveries, a 149km radius body by Commander Chukat 1, a 4.25G landable body by Commander Micklin, and an 18.5 million UC sold for the carrier system found by Commander Stahl Dorn. The leaderboards have been reset for Leg 2 and in some cases have already exceeded the Leg 1 values after less than 1 week. While we were at Sagae, there were some commanders who created a game of Thread the Needle with two T-10s facing each other forming the needle and commanders attempting to fly as quickly as possible through the gap. There were impressive passes as well as spectacular explosions. Afterwards, there were more PvP battles both at the Tourist Beacon as well as near the carrier. At the Tourist Beacon, there was also some whale watching and hunting with some unfortunate results for some tourists. After leaving Sagae, we made our way to Down Under, a spectacular location 2,800 light years below the galactic plane. Down there, almost every system was a D-mass or heavier system with numerous neutron stars, black holes and white dwarfs. We even found systems with 10 and more stars in them. The main disk of the galaxy provided an amazing backdrop to these discoveries. Our next stop was Caerleum Luna, a bright bluish purple planetary nebula with a neutron star core. While we were there, we held a booze running event which involved Sidewinders attempting to deliver Jacques Quintinian stills to the carrier from the carrier to a secret location on A1A, where a Type 9 was waiting, while a team of law enforcing Sidewinders equipped with 1EFSD interdictors attempted to catch them. The booze runners won the first round, while the interdictors clinched the second one, thanks to the interdiction skills of Commander Robert Clark. The expedition will meet up with the Azura Initiative at the Great Annihilator on Friday, where we will hold a joint event. More commanders will join us there as well for some final 2 weeks of expedition. We also received some amazing news that the expedition carrier D-Scan will soon be over, has travelled to more systems than any other fleet carrier in the galaxy. We have now visited over 1,750 systems since the carrier was commissioned about 18 months ago. The closest carrier to this amount of jumps has visited about 400 systems fewer than we have. The news has unsettled some of the crew, who worry more about the strange noises they hear during their jumps.
The Lost Souls Expedition 3, organised by the Fatherhood, seem to be obsessed with death. Still, everyone have their hobby, I say. I'll let Commander Monquiqui explain.
Week 2 of the Fatherhood's Lost Souls Souls 3 expedition successfully concluded after a visit to KY Cygni, a red supergiant and one of the top 10 largest known stars by radius, Musica Universalis, Smooju Zulu Echo Romeo Delta 4-109, a gas giant with a colourful collection of 6 very unique moons. And finally, the planet of slightly lesser death, Bla Aeon Yankee Zulu Golf Delta 10-0. Like the infamous Monde de la Mort, this system consists of a planet which orbits perpendicular to the core white dwarf's jet cones, close enough to pass through them at either end. The weekly meetup was planned at the planet of slightly lesser death, but was relocated to one of the many fleet carriers at the last minute due to the elevated levels of death on the planet at that time. Despite the change of plans, 25 commanders gave their lives to the dwarf sun god that weekend. Luckily, the plethora of fleet carriers meant the consequences of death were nothing more than a wee rebuy. This week, we're off to visit Bubo's star, a pulse star. The DSSA IGAU Paradox Destiny fleet carrier, and finally meeting up again at the Arset Nebula Guardian Ruins. We're still close enough to the bubble to catch up. If you wish to join us, please visit our website at thefatherhoodwing.space to register and grab an invite to our Discord server.
Galaxy ship and SRV manufacturers are very grateful to the Buckyball races, since without these daredevils, wonder what the sound was. Sorry about that. The Galaxy ship and SRV manufacturers are very grateful to the Buckyball racers, since without these daredevils, there would be much smaller demand for replacements after incidents. The competition is at fever pitch as commanders remember the old adage, never fly without a change of underwear, and Alec Turner's had to remove his racing gloves, his racing helmet and his racing pigeon before he could dictate this update.
With 4 days to go before the end of Wiccan Beware Buckyball Race, there's some seriously stiff competition with 22 racers fighting for points in regulation Cobra class and 15 currently logged in unlimited, including a surprising number of commanders new to Buckyball. It's the pros currently sitting in the top spots, though with Bruski holding first place in the unlimited class with a time less than 14 minutes, and Captain -MD taking pole position in regulation class with a time less than 17 minutes. The race, which is shieldless, features a tunnel that must be flown through at minimum speed of 200 meters per second, and which has a 90-second time bonus for finishing on 1% hull, has seen significant loss of ships. Somewhat strangely, given the narrowed tunnel, there has also been a surprising number of corvettes attempting the race. Well, You know what they say. There's crazy, and then there's buckyball.
Are you taking part in an event that you think our listener would want to know about? Email itookpart@huttonorbital.com and let us know about it.